Singer-songwriter Sarah McKenzie, like so many of her fellow Australians, felt she'd have to leave her beloved country to pursue her dreams, which is exactly what she's done, living first in Paris and London, then moving on to Boston to study at the Berklee College of Music, and now settling in Los Angeles. Sarah speaks of her experiences with the passion and appreciation of a poet and channels it all into her songwriting, which is featured on her newest CD, Secrets of My Heart. Sarah and I met in New York City to record the following conversation after her appearance at Dizzy's at Jazz at Lincoln Center a few days before she completed her move to Los Angeles. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I commented to Sarah that few people have the opportunity to experience different cultures as deeply as she has, and asked what she's gotten from her different moves around the world.
Well, I'm Australian, first and foremost. Australia's a long way away. You know, if you want to go anywhere, it's a good 26 hours on the plane. But I think being Australian, and because everywhere is so far away, that does give you this desire to go out into the world and to see what's out there and, you know, all of these great places that you see in the movies and read about in books. And, you know, I was reading Ernest Hemingway's Immovable Feast and, the way he was mopping his bread and having his glass of Bordeaux in some little French bistro. I mean, it filled my mind with imagination. I always wanted to study at Berklee College of Music because I heard great musicians went there. And so, you know, I really set about hard, how can I get a scholarship to go to Berklee? And I was very fortunate. I did receive that. And so
you were very focused with this.
I was. Look, I was. I had to get to America. I was 24 years of age. I had done one degree on the west coast of Australia. And I had thought to myself, look, no one is ever going to hear me here. And also, how can I tell if I'm world-class talent in Australia? You know, I've got to go out into the world and see, you know, I can't just sit here with all these people and say, oh yeah, we're fantastic. No, all of the musicians that I love, Jobim, Michel Legrand, Oscar Peterson, you know, they are world musicians. They play all over the world. So I had to get out, and I thought the place to go is America. And Berklee would be a great opportunity because not only can you study and learn more about your craft, but I was certain that I could find some opportunities there. I wasn't sure how. I just thought there must be there. So I did really actively go after a scholarship opportunity. I found my opportunity at the Umbria Jazz Festival. Berklee runs clinics there, which are not that expensive. I think at the time I did it, it was something like 400 euros for the tuition. And that also included festival tickets to see all of the great artists there every night. I thought it's just a win-win. Even if I don't get a scholarship, I have learned something. I've seen great music. I've been in Europe, you know. So I got over there and I really, you know, gave it everything. I'm quite a shy person, actually. So I had to sort of rise above myself. I went to the singing teacher and I said, you know, what do you think about how I'm doing? I went to the songwriting teacher. I showed her my songs. You know, what do you think? How could I do this better? I went to the piano teacher. I jammed with him. I said, what do you think? You know,
And were people honest with you? Did they give you good feedback?
Yes, they were. No, they gave me great feedback. Particularly for the songwriting, I think people said these are good tunes, and nobody's writing tunes in this Cole Porter-esque style anymore. You know, you should really develop that.
Through all the years of my life, there was a joy amidst the strife, and a love that was true. Shone a light through the love that was true. As long as we grow, we can reach for the stars. Though there was rain in the sky, I saw the sun shine.
My guest, pianist, singer, songwriter, Sarah McKenzie, on her composition, My True Love Is You. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
So I got my scholarship to Berkeley, and that started the first adventure into my magical world, you know, in Boston. And it was incredible for several reasons. One of the great reasons was because in Australia, we have different seasons, of course, because Christmas is in the summertime.
Right.
So for me to have a winter Christmas is actually a very big deal, you know, and a summer in July is a big deal. And all of a sudden, I felt more valid singing songs of the Great American Songbook because all of these autumn in New York suddenly made sense to me. You know?
I love this because I haven't had anyone mention this, and I relate with this, of course, coming from California.
California is the same thing. So I loved my time in Boston. And then I had the great opportunity to go to Paris. I actually signed with the Impulse label, which was a great opportunity. And they were based in France at the time. And I had a manager in London. So it sort of was a good idea at the time to move to Europe. And that was fantastic because, as I said, I've read lots of books and seen lots of movies, and I always wanted to go to Paris. You know, I love the history and the great artists. I love the Impressionists, Monet and Degas, Van Gogh. The Musée d'Orsay is one of my favorite places in Paris, and just walking through all the jardins and, you know, seeing just, oh, it's so beautiful. I think I'm quite romantic, and you know, it's good for the music, you know, because then I can really put it all into song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely inspired by all of the places that I go, and I find that all those differences I really pick up on and easily put it into song.
Somewhere between the night and daylight breaking, love with you. Somewhere between the silence and music making, I fell in love with you. Well, I didn't see it coming, I didn't have a clue, I didn't hear it humming. Tell me now, what do I do? Somewhere between the jokes and voices laughing, stolen glances, I fell in love with you. Somewhere between the facts and taking chances, I fell in love with you. Well, maybe I didn't see
my guest, Sarah McKenzie, on vocal and piano on her tune, I Fell in Love with You. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. What I'm getting from this, too, is not just your sensitivity and awareness, which is one of the reasons I love talking to people on this show, because they are professionally creative, so they're sensitive people. And I think all of us can be more aware, and I love to be around people like that because they make you aware of those things. But I'm really impressed with your desire to test yourself and to not just believe. I always say, when I do master classes, I always say, get an opinion from someone who's not your mother.
That is so true.
And
because, although my mother's quite harsh.
Well, okay, not your mother then.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
And I think a lot of people are too ready to believe that they're the greatest thing that's ever happened. And all of the people that I know that are professionals have some talent, obviously, or they wouldn't be doing it. But the way that you're going to get better is to continue to push yourself and surround yourself with other people. And you had to overcome being shy, because people will ask me that. They'll say, well, how do I do it? Well, you just have to do it, don't you think? I mean, there's no thinking your way out of it. You have to just do it.
Oh, absolutely. Also, I always think it's interesting, you know, people compare themselves, you know, that's natural, but they're comparing themselves maybe to their peers or what's happening right now. I'm, you know, the music I love is Duke Ellington and Beethoven and Antonio Carlos Jobim. He wrote hundreds of tunes. He did not just write one great tune. He wrote hundreds of tunes. How can I think that I'm good, you know, until I have a legacy and a repertoire like that, you know, until people are calling you Duke Ellington, you know, which they will never. But the point I'm trying to get at here is, there are musicians in history who have done great things, you know, and if you want to be truly great, I think you've got to work hard and learn as much as you possibly can, you know, from everybody, and work, you know.
Where did that come from? Did that come from your schooling, or were you brought up that way? I'm curious, because a theme that comes up a lot on this show and off the show is that the bar has been lowered, that a lot of people don't compare themselves to these greats. The people you're mentioning were the greats. And I'm struck by people who think they can write a tune from the get-go. They just walk out because they don't know the great songwriters. They don't have this high bar that is and should be humbling, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I definitely know that I've studied with Johnny Mandel. Mm. I've met and played with Michel Legrand. Mm. I've met Lalo Schifrin. Mm-hmm. I've talked to some of the great composers and arrangers. And I'm so excited when I meet them, you know. I'm so blown away by what they've done. Their music is incredible, you know. Johnny Mandel, Emily, you know, you know, for Tony Bennett, you know, The Shadow of Your Smile. It's just the string arrangements are lush. They're gorgeous. And if you meet these guys, you know, they just love music, you know. Mm. If you listen to Lalo Schifrin talk about when he was in Dizzy Gillespie's band, it lights, you know, he's just so excited. I just, you know, I want to be like them. You know, I just, yeah. It's just love, I think. You know, I just think they're so great. I hope one day I could be that great, but I've got to work. It's going to take a lot of time, thinking long term, and, you know, just keep going.
One day we walked along the sand, one day in early spring. You held a piper in your hand to mend its broken wing. Now I'll remember many a day and many a lonely mile. The echo of a piper song. The shadow of a smile, the shadow of your smile. When you are gone, will color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my love and see all the lovely things you are to me. Our wistful little was far too high. A teardrop kissed your lips, and so did I. The shadow of your smile.
Tony Bennett on The Shadow of Your Smile, a favorite recording of my guest, vocalist, pianist, composer, Sarah McKenzie. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I asked Sarah how she's had the opportunity to meet so many great musicians.
Well, Johnny Mandel was an easier one. Mm. I saw that he was taking a week-long masterclass at John Clayton's jazz camp in Port Townsend. So that camp happens every year, and I don't think there's an age limit. You can go and you can be a part of it. And that particular year, Johnny Mandel was teaching. Michel Legrand, I actually play with one of his bassists in France, Pierre Bousseguet, who's a student of Ray Brown's. So that's fantastic. So the connection was made through Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
And Lalo Schifrin, my manager, actually, he worked with Lalo back in the day, so was able to make an introduction. So, it's definitely is who you know, as always.
Mm. But you also follow up on that. I think that's one of the great advantages, and I think about this a lot because I like to think that this show inspires people to do some of these things. And now with the internet, you can look these things up. There are these jazz camps,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the stuff that didn't exist. There would be master classes, but they were harder to find. You'd have to be going to that university or something like that.
Mm.
You're making it very clear that if you put the effort in, you can find these things.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I'm not a great fan of competitions on one side, and yet on the other, it is a great thing. I was in the Sarah Vaughan vocal competition here a few years back. But, I was looking at the judges, and, one of the judges was Christian McBride. And I thought, I've got to go in there so I can, meet Christian,
Well, then that's it, and they get to hear you. Now, you're a big Jobim fan. Talk about that, because I love your Brazilian compositions. I think they're great.
Yeah, well, I had the great opportunity to go to Brazil maybe 2 years ago, to Rio de Janeiro. Oh, it's so beautiful. Ipanema Beach, and I actually opened the new Blue Note Club that's there and had the great opportunity to play with some of the original members from the Antonio Carlos Jobim band. And this was such a great highlight for me because I love the music, you know, Alice Regina, Jobim, João Gilberto, so many great players, that while I was playing with some of these great legends from their bands, I sort of felt, oh, you know, thank you so much for playing with me. And, you know, it really inspired me, and I wrote a couple of songs from that experience.
Sing with me, Janata. Try to keep the beat, ra-ta-ta-ta, and repeat, Janata. Janata is the melody, the simple little symphony for life.
Sarah McKenzie on her song, Janata, from her CD, Secrets of My Heart. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. What about Jobim in particular is so special? I agree. I mean, all jazz musicians love him, but try to entice people into that world that we know. What about him is so special about his writing?
Oh, the writing is so so lyrical, so warm, so optimistic. You know, I love songs like Chegaje Saudade and Triste, and you know, you've got Your Girl from Ipanema, and you know, it's the melodies, I think, that you remember. I studied him a little bit while I was there. I was talking to the guys, you know, who were his nephews, and you know, who played in his band, and they were saying that, you know, he would study for the mornings, and then in the afternoons, all the musicians would come around and they would play his tunes and work on arrangements together. And it was a real family affair. They had all the, you know, the wives of the musicians were the singers, you know, that great, fantastic Sergio Mendes does it as well, you know, the Brazilian choir. You know, so you get this sense of family and music and love, and You just hear that in the music, and I think it's just so wonderful. But as I said, he wrote hundreds of great tunes, and I think this is why his music is just really special.
Triste é viver na solidão. Paixão. Triste é saber que ninguém pode viver de ilusão, que nunca vai ser, nunca vai dar. O sonhador tem que acordar. Tua beleza é um avião. Demais pra um pobre coração. Pra te ver passar, só pra me maltratar. Triste é viver na solidão. Triste é viver na solidão. Na dor cruel de uma paixão. Triste é saber que ninguém pode viver de ilusão, que nunca vai ser, nunca vai dar. O sonhador tem que acordar. Tua beleza é um avião. Demais para um pobre coração. Que para pra te ver passar. Só pra me maltratar. Triste é viver na solidão.
Antonio Carlos Jobim and Elise Regina on Jobim's composition, Triste. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to podcasts of Jazz Inspired on Apple Music or wherever you get your podcasts. And email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. We are funded primarily by your donations, so please visit jazzinspired.com to chip in. No gift is too small. 2020 marks our 20th year, and we need your support to make it all happen. Thank you. My guest today is singer, songwriter, pianist, Sarah McKenzie. Talk about It's All About Love. I love this tune.
Do you? Oh, that's wonderful.
I do. Very, very much. Talk about writing it. singing. You make it sound very effortless, and I know that kind of singing is not effortless. So talk about that.
Oh, well, you know, I guess I wanted to, it's a blues, but I sort of wanted to challenge myself a little bit more. And, you know, there are these great bebop heads like Twisted, you know, and I guess I was sort of thinking a little bit like that. Or even I like the way Joni Mitchell does the dry cleaner from Des Moines. I think I was thinking along these lines, and but I wanted it to make lyrical sense. Lyrics are very important to me. It's very difficult because you don't want them to sound cliche or forced. You want them to sound very natural, have meaning, and be clever at the same time. So I just tried to write a bebop head with good lyrics, and this is what happened.
It's all about groove, it's all about feel, it's all about trying to find something real. People tell me that I'm crazy. Well, maybe I'd rather be crazy than just lazy. I sail a ship across the sky. If I could tell you why it's all about truth and not about gain, it's all about chasing down that final train. People tell me life ain't easy. Well, it could be. Open up your mind and rise above. You'll see it's all about love. So I'm gonna live until my dying day. Ain't nobody gonna take my blues away. It's gonna take away my soul. Ask me to death, but don't push and shove. Don't you know, it's all about love.
I was looking forward to asking you, it just occurred to me before you came in today, that when I was coming up, when I was in my 20s, every single interview talked about the fact that I was a woman in jazz. Now, you'd have singers, but I was not singing. So it would be a big part of the interview would be talking about that. And I never ask anybody about it. It never even occurs to me anymore. But I wonder if people still ask you. Do people ever ask you that question? Do they talk about what it's like being in a man's business or being a woman? Does that subject still come up?
Oh, yes, I think very much, particularly now with the Me Too movement and all that. You know, but also I think my attitude to it is you've got to be a little gender blind, you know, and just get out there and you've got to earn your place no matter what. And that's how I've approached it. I think, you know, you've just got to go forth. If you sort of focus too much on that, you know, it's going to pull you down. That's the only thing it's going to do. You know, I work hard. I deserve whatever I go after. If I work hard, if it's great quality, you know, there's nothing going to stop me. That's how I go. That's how I see it.
I like you saying it. That's how I felt too. And the people who helped me were men because there weren't any women around generally when I was coming up. But I was curious. So you still get that question. That's fascinating.
Oh, yes. No, absolutely. And there has been a lot of talk about it, hasn't there? You know.
Well, I'm asking because people don't ask me as much anymore because I've been around a while. So I'm established. So they don't look at me and think, they might say, what was it like when you started out? But they're not going to ask me now if people, I think I look mean now.
No, are you kidding me? You look incredible. Come on
I was
now.
Thinking maybe they think, oh, Judy will just beat him up. Maybe that's You're also a Ben Webster fan. Talk about Making Whoopee. I love this track. Talk about this, why you chose this.
I mean, I love Ben Webster so much, you know, and in all the saxophone players I choose to play with today, Gábor Bolla, he's a Hungarian saxophone player. He's incredible. And Troy Roberts, amazing Australian saxophone player living in New York now, who I played with last night. They've all got this beautiful, you know, same thing that Ben Webster, you know, big, beautiful, warm sound, you know. And I love Ben Webster with Oscar Peterson. Wilson. The live concert that they did is just so soulful, so much blues, all about the swing. I love it. So, and this is a great track, the Making Whoopee with Ben Webster.
We talked before we started, we were talking about the different feel, time feel. That's such a hard thing to relate to non-musicians and to musicians. But we talk about it a lot on this show. And you've gotten to live in different places, so you've had bands from different places. And now you're moving to Los Angeles. You're going to have a whole different thing. Mm. Because I'll tell you, as an LA girl who moved to New York, very different approach to the music. It was fascinating to me what was important to the musicians on each coast. But talk about the difference for you and what you hear, because you were talking about rhythm sections.
Well, look, I was inspired by Oscar Peterson and Ray Brown and all of Ray Brown's trios, you know, so I'm a big fan of the swing, of time. When I listened to Night Train, for example, I couldn't work out whether I liked Oscar Peterson's great swinging light piano playing or Ray Brown's earthy, strong, characteristic bass playing, you know, better. And I suppose in all of my bands, I look for those qualities and that spirit, you know. And in America, I do find it, you know, in a lot of the great players, you know, time is really important here. Time and swing feel and blues is really important. That's not to say it's not important in Europe or Australia, but they are coming from a different history. They're coming from classical music, you know, so it is different. And for the French, they're coming from French chansons. which is mainly lyric driven. So if you're focusing on the lyrics and telling the story, perhaps, you know, sometimes the time can get a little lost. But there are great musicians everywhere you go, you know. But you notice little differences and
the feel.
And the feel change, for sure.
You also talked about I'm trying to think how we were saying this, because this is all before we started, of in America, that hard work competition. It was one of the things that I loved about New York that made me want to come to New York. I loved how fast things were. I love that I've told this story a lot, that I got in a cab, and when I first came here, it was very much that the taxi driver just said, "So what do you do?" Like immediately, and I said, "I'm a jazz musician." He says, "Okay, who's your favorite? You know, what do you?" And just like, but I felt that epitomized that New York attitude. You know, put up or shut up. It was really prove it, and I liked it. Now I responded to that. I wasn't, even being a California girl, I wasn't offended by that. Mm. It made me think I better represent.
Yes, look, it's exactly the same. When I got to Berklee College of Music, I was saying, in England and in Australia, we say sorry for everything. You know, we say sorry for our existence, I think. You know, if someone cuts you off, you say, "Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry." In America, I learned that they don't understand when you say sorry. You know, it's excuse me, if anything, you know. And just getting rid of a little bit of that really is helpful as well for, you know, coming out of your shell, owning what you do. This is me. This is who I am. I feel good here in America because this is the attitude, positive, go for it. If you want something, go for it, you know. Mm. And I love that about this country.
I love that you're saying it because America isn't feeling very good about itself. And those are things that I loved growing up here. When I first went to Australia, people told me, do they still talk about the tall poppy syndrome?
Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And people, I remember the first Aussie, because I love Australia, you know, and as a Californian,
yes,
of course, I dive right in. And they said, "Are you proud of being an American? Or how do you feel about being an American?" And I feel great about it. And I grew up thinking I can do anything if I work really hard. And of course, I'm educated, white, and a female, and I have a lot of those advantages. So I could believe those things. But I do in my core think that a lot of that helped me to do some of the things, some of the courageous things I did, because there was this be proud, get out there, and you can do it. Some of our listeners won't know what I'm referring to with the tall poppy syndrome. Talk about that. Because I was fascinated, because I'll tell you what Americans think of Australia.
Yes,
it seems everybody who comes from Australia seems to be beautiful, present company included. It's like, what are the genes there that they're strong, because genetically you had all these people that were, shipped off, and if you survived,
yep,
and that they're friendly, and that it's a beautiful country, and that there's kangaroos. And that's mainly, I think, what most people who haven't been there are going to think. And you think of these rugged, there's a lot of great athletes, and they're fun. We would not think tall poppy syndrome. So that's why I want you to talk about that, because that's going to be a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, look, you know, Australia is a great country. It's my heart and my soul. And I loved growing up there. And we are a lucky country because we've only got 24 million people in this gigantic landmass that's nearly the same size as America. So there's a lot of space. And So you can grow up and have a wonderful life there. And also it's very much based on the outdoors. So we get in the ocean, you know, it's very cold. And I boogie board, you know, my brother surfs and we're in the rough and tumble and we go hiking and, you know, I horse ride, ski, you know, in Australia, you just do everything. And I think it makes you strong, you know. But look, we have come from England and the English attitude is more be humble, which is great, you know, and you should, but sometimes it can just go a little bit too far. And in Australia, we have a culture of the tall poppy syndrome, which is the tendency to cut down people the moment they get a little bit too successful. It's seen as, oh no, you're too big for your boots. You know, oh no, they think they're arrogant or they think they're good. No, we need to cut them down now so that they remember who they are, you know, which is really bizarre. You know, if you've worked really hard and you're striving for something, that should really be lifted up. And I think that's the difference in America. I think that they do lift you up if you really go for it. They get behind you and say, yeah, good for you. You know, we'll support that. But I love my country and I would be nothing, you know, without Australia.
I think a combination of those two are really best because Americans can be a little bit too much that other way. So see, we can combine these things, which you're getting, that you're going and you'll get your beach by moving out to Marina Del Rey, which will be fun.
Yes, I can't wait to get to California. I've been so lucky to live all the places that I have, and it really helps my songwriting, I think, to move around, to be in all the different countries. I know that Cole Porter had a life like that. Him and Linda, they would constantly have houses in Europe and America, and he, you know, I know that he wrote. I took a lot from him, actually, songwriting-wise.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we'd thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. Just one of those bells that now and then ring. Just one of those things. A trip to the moon on gossamer wings. Just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I asked my guest, Sarah McKenzie, about her songwriting process.
When I was in Brazil and I was playing with these guys and, you know, everyone's saying this beautiful phrase, de nada, de nada, you know, over which means you're welcome and don't worry. And, you know, we're so, you know, it's just a beautiful phrase. And I thought, oh, I have to write a song. You know, they're saying this all the time and I want to get this positive feeling and message into the music. I wrote this song in my head on the plane on the way back to London. I had the idea. I heard the melody and I had the idea before I went to the piano and wrote it. But that's not always the case. Usually I try these days to come up with a great title that encapsulates the feeling and the song and the initial inspiration.
Mm.
And then from the title, I write the melody, maybe with a few lyrics sketched here and there. But the melody is very important. You have to take care of the melody. Without that, you don't have a great song.
Mm.
So I work hard on trying to get that. And then it's architecture. It's a bit of work to, you know, it's great to be a singer because you need to sing the lyrics so that they feel naturally. They have to fall out of your mouth, you know, and feel the emphasis has to be in the right place, you know, and you have to sing, you know, to understand that. I just wrote also a piece for classical choir.
Wow.
It was actually for my wedding. It was really beautiful. We had a choir up in the
When did you get married? Is this recent?
Just in July, yes.
Oh, so it's really recent. Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
But anyway, thank you very much. But what was interesting, and I wanted to very much write in this traditional style, like John Rutter, I love his music, and like Bach and Charles Phillips Stanford. But they usually start with a text, and I found that really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I didn't start with the text. I wrote the melody first because I do feel that that works. But that was a challenge because it wasn't the Great American Songbook style, was it? And I didn't know if I could do this.
And how did you do? What was it like approaching that? Because it's very different.
Well, you know, also I wanted it, it's a Catholic church, so I wanted it to have a religious context. And actually the song title is called Lord Be Our Guide. And I, you know, I was like, okay, I need to really look up some phrases here. So I was like, okay, religious words. And the first thing that comes up with is Hosanna. And I was like, okay, I need to get some Hosannas in there. But look, I'm being a little bit silly, but in truthfulness, you know, I did also take great care to make sure it was very sensitive and very, you know, like I would hear those other hymns, you know.
Mm-hmm,
I tried
mm-hmm.
my very best to fit it in, and it worked really well. I think it takes longer than people realize, or at least I think it does.
What takes longer?
You know, I guess what I'm doing or trying to do is I'm trying to build a career, you know, and I think that initially I thought, well, maybe it is that overnight sensation and you get your big break and then you're away. But more recently, I'm realizing maybe I've been doing this for 5 years, like touring and playing concerts. And, you know, if I read about David Bowie, for example, had no major break at 11 years of touring and playing concerts, still had no major break, you know, and he's David Bowie.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, people maybe are unaware of how long and, you know, it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really important. It's, you know, craft, developing craft and playing and, you know, learning how to conduct a concert. I'm really lucky that I've got a great manager and I don't presume to do everything alone. I really am building a team, you know, with my manager and in Europe and, you know, in Asia and it takes time. And I think if there's anything, I think I'd love to give people, you know, don't give up, you know, you
mm.
build your team,
mm-hmm.
you know, think long term and work, you know, and keep positive.
I think that what I'm getting from what you're saying, too, is that all of that's necessary. I think a lot of times that if there is a break, we've seen it in Hollywood over and over again, you get a break and then a crash and burn. Because the armature hasn't been built slowly and sturdily, I guess. Something that's built very, very, I always think about trees as my metaphor. Mm. The ones like the Australia, California, are eucalyptus trees. They grow so fast, but they can easily break. And instead of these things that grow these rings very slowly, and that's all part of it.
Mm.
That's all part of it.
And I think I've been very lucky. I've got a great family and I've got great mentors in my life. I have a favorite teacher, Maggie Scott, in Boston. She's 93 years old and still teaching at Berklee College
of
Music.
That's fantastic.
And she loves jazz and piano. She's a piano player, singer. She's so good. And she just loves music, you know. And you know, I'm so inspired, you know, by these kind of people and, you know, the people that I've met, as I said, talking to Lalo Schifrin, watching his eyes light up about Dizzy Gillespie, and, you know, playing with Pierre Bourseguet and hearing the stories about Ray Brown and Michel Legrand. And I just think, you know, just so lucky to be around these people. And, you know, they worked hard, they're passionate about their music, and they have a wonderful life in music.
That's fabulous. I think you're wonderful. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a great, great pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You've been listening to my conversation with Sarah McKenzie. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidoff. You can download free podcasts of Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired from all the usual podcast platforms or listen at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Florey on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons. We're funded primarily by your donations, so please visit jazzinspired.com to chip in and keep us on air. Any amount is appreciated. 2020 marks our 20th year, and we need your support to make it all happen. Thank you. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at StrideQueen. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is also sponsored in part by Page at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Page at 63 Main at opentable.com. And for more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.